Now, verse 13. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who being before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession. So first of all, from verse 13 verse down to verse 16, we see it's all one sentence. And we already see two persons that are mentioned here. Now, they're nouns, okay? So a noun is what? A person, place, or thing. So God is mentioned and Christ Jesus. Now, you say, well, isn't Jesus God? Yes, of course. But a lot of times in the Bible, it says that God, even our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so a lot of times, instead of saying Father or something like that, it'll just say God. Now, sometimes it can say God, and it does mean Jesus, but it'd be pretty redundant if it didn't mean the Father here and then the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what you usually see. It just doesn't say in the sight of God, even our Father, like normally it does. And so I believe that's talking about God the Father. And then it talks about Christ Jesus, who's the Son. Notice verse 14. That thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which, now which is a pronoun. And which in his times he shall show who, and that's also a pronoun, is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who, also a pronoun, only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, the way I look at this, because what's interesting about this passage, if you understand English grammar a little bit here, when you use the word who and whom, and you ever do those tests, you're like, which one is it? I don't know which one it is. When to use who or whom? Who is used when you're talking about the subject, and whom is when you're talking about a direct object. Okay? So, who's the subject? God and Christ Jesus, if you're going to use those two personal pronouns at the beginning. And when you use a pronoun is basically taking the place of the noun that was used before. So God and Christ Jesus would be like the antecedent. And antecedent is the noun that a pronoun is taking the place of. Does that make sense? So if I said Holly is going to the store to pick up some more plates for church, and she's also going to go pick up this, and while she did that, she picked up something for, you know, do you see how I'm using she instead? I don't say Holly went to the store, picked up place, and then Holly went and did this, and then Holly went to this, Holly did this, right? I'm replacing Holly with she, but if I didn't put Holly there to begin with, you wouldn't know who the she was. If I said she went to the store to go pick up plates, you'd be like, who, right? There's a lot of she's, you know, it's not like there's only one woman that comes to church here, right? And so, do you see what I'm saying there? Is that the fact is when you have a pronoun, you're looking for an antecedent. And so we have an antecedent. We have Christ Jesus, but we also have God the Father. Now, what I believe is that the which, who is talking about, when if you're underlining those pronouns, I believe that's talking about Jesus. And so when it says which in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, I believe that's talking about Jesus. Verse 16, who only hath immortality, I think that's also talking about Jesus. Now, what's interesting, it says that he's dwelling. Now, he who only hath immortality is dwelling in what? A direct object. He's dwelling in an object. The light. That's the key. He's dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Notice this. Which is used there? Who or whom? So what's the whom referring to? A direct object and not the subject. See what I'm saying? And so that shows you that the direct object, which is the light, is being referred to when it says, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's what I believe is saying. Now, if you have a different interpretation, if you're seeing that differently with your grammar, but in the end, you have two different people that you could put in there. And at that point, you have to figure out which one it would be. And I believe that the subject is talking about Jesus, but then it switches into in the light, which is the direct object, would be the Father. Okay? And so the light is the noun that the pronoun of which, whom is referring to. Now that makes perfect sense. Because Jesus said, I dwell in my Father and he dwells in me. And it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So it makes perfect sense that Jesus would be dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. There's no contradiction. And when this came out as being the turning point in the modalism and oneness, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are you talking about? It doesn't say, who only hath immortality, the light, which no man can approach unto. Is that what it says? No, it says dwelling in the light. No contradiction. That's something that's being said over and over and over again in John, saying that Jesus is dwelling in the Father. And so we're dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. See, Jesus is the only one that is going in the Holy Ghost, obviously, that is in the bosom of the Father that can declare him, because no man can approach unto him. That's how John chapter 1 makes sense. No one else can approach unto him. No man can see him. And only Jesus can. And Jesus came down and basically manifested the Father unto us in the fact that he told us, he showed us what he looked like, because he's the express image. And he also said everything the Father said. And that's why it makes sense that no man has seen his shape or heard his voice. And so